Good morning, everybody.
And you again about Aaron coming. Aaron Simmons. He is so well-spoken, and he has, this man, young man, has such an awesome spirit about him. I really encourage you to make every effort you can to come to the meetings that we're having with him. And he's a, just a genuine person like any of us. And he's kind of been thrown into his life just like a lot of us have been. And into the ministry in the way that he has, and yet the Lord has sovereignly been in it and has just really been with him. I've got a lot of feedback back here. Samuel, is he gone? Go fetch him. And so these he's not. He's like I said, it's very important too. He's not a hyper person. He's a very, very genuine young man, real upfront, honest about his life, where he was. His marriage was on the rocks. The bio is in his bio is briefly in these flyers, and his stories, you know, of especially these resurrections. This is really it's really amazing story, and. He just prayed simple prayers, and you know you've had a real miracle when the family's mad at you because that was a DNNR, that was a do not resuscitate patient, and what are you doing, why did you resurrect grandpa, that kind of thing. It's like, it's not really, it's not in my hands. Like, I just prayed. You're going to have to come up with a whole new set of letters, Kathy, like DNNR, like do not resuscitate nor resurrect. So, because there's a whole nother group of people on the ministry now, feet on the ground, that are believing for the supernatural. And when Phyllis and I met Aaron when he was out in Marion, he really genuinely shared with her and I when we sat with met with him and got to see him, meet him a little bit, or get to know him a little bit. He said, "I really want to come to your place. I want to be with you folks and with your people." So that's really was really a neat thing. So make every effort to come to those. Matter of fact, speaking of Aaron, he just was texting me this morning. Praying God breathes a fresh... I'll just read this. Who knows what's in it. Praying God breathes a fresh fire in your service and a tsunami wave of his love sweeps in today. Also, I saw a hotel... let's see. That was about the hotel. Okay, cool. Anyways, yeah, it's a good word. And he was also, he'd sent me a voice memo that, excuse me, that this year was going to be a real supernatural, like a lot of things were going to happen this year in my ministry, which directly relates to you, that it was going to be in Ephesians, what was it, 3:10? Or it was like above what you believed or thought. Thank you, Kathy. In Ephesians 3:20, year for me, for us, that in simply that scripture is above what you can think or ask. And so that's nothing to be afraid of, Cheryl, or anybody else. Like, life's going to change. Like, let it get better. Let this increase. We're not going to lose what we have. We're not going to lose what we've gained. We don't have to be afraid of that, because the Lord's worked a long time on our foundation. Yes? Long time on our foundation. Wow. And when I go places, and I was so aware of this when I got to speak out in Marion in the last fall, that there was I was so blessed by the group. Of course, we had a small remnant here that stayed at church. That was good. But there was such a large group of you that came. And it mattered to me. I was so full of this. It was between me and you, honestly. But I was so full of this that you are my letter, that you are all my letter. And that it's not a typical, I'm the leader and, you know, I've created this and built this and blah, blah, blah. But we've raised one another. Yeah. And we're so interconnected and our walk is so interconnected that we were orphans and we kind of, you know, brought each other up by how we walk things out and found the Lord. And that is the truth. No one can go, hey, I'm the leader. I knew what was going on. You know, like not. But we had the Spirit of the Lord had the blueprints for what we were going to be. And he kept us in our orphanageness, you know, in our all of our stuff and our issues. And I was so aware of this, like, this isn't just the letter, my letter, my authentication, because Paul said that about the believers. You're my letter. You're what authenticates me in the ministry. And so I really feel that, but also that we're so a part of each other in this walk and what we've and what we've built, what we've found. And in the end, the Lord did not leave us, did he? And at the right time, we had the right stuff. We've been right on track with anybody else. And even things that looked all whacked out and messed up in the end, we were on the right track. That's really huge for me. The Lord's like, don't worry about that. Yeah, but I'm worried. I'm intimidated. I'm all those things. And it's like, no, just be on Bethesda Road. Just find me right here. And that will prepare you for whatever's coming and whatever's happening. So that's so cool. turn with me to 2 Chronicles. Hang on, that's wrong. I am going to get you in the right place. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. I was right. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And then we're going to go to Psalms 34. I'm just so blessed by, like, the Spirit showing up and ministering and me being in the midst of us. And thank you, Joellen, for stepping out and sharing those words. My heart's desire is that we be a body, that we function as a body, we minister as a body, we tap into body life and body ministry. And so I appreciate everything and things that go on behind the scenes. There's a group that prays in the back room on Sunday mornings. If you want to stick your toe in the fire, I would encourage you to be a part of that. There's, you know, whosoever. I think it was Charles Spurgeon. He was so proud of his prayer furnace. And he goes, you want to see the boiler? He called it the boiler room. He goes, you want to see the boiler room? People are like, whatever, okay, if you want to show me the furnace room, you know, that's what their mind, they're thinking, and they would go to the basement of this church, which was pretty significant. I forget what city that was in. They'd go in, and there'd be up to 400 people praying before the meetings, just praying their hearts out. And he'd be like, here's what I'm proud of. Here's where the fire's at. Here's what creates what goes on upstairs in the front on the podium. Here's what fires that. Here's what fuels that. Here's where the heat's coming from. Here's where the stuff's coming from. So I just want to, I appreciate all of you that go back there, and I just pray that increases. It's so significant. And all of you doing the things that you do, just do what you do. Just be who you are. Trust that. Will you just trust that? Just trust that. And you'll be right on time, right in sync. And don't worry about people passing you by. Don't worry. And it's just a feeling. It's not true, but it's a feeling. I'm behind. I'm missing out. Just say no to that feeling. It's just a feeling. And maybe I'm preaching to myself today. That's always good. Tell yourself, Rick. I'll leave out the details, but I have to do this for myself, and the Spirit's been speaking to me. Just be true to what you know. It's all you ever need to do. Don't have to try to blend in, fit in, be something you're not. Most of our anxiety and stress is coming from trying to be something above our pay grade. And what we just need is just relax. What you are is adequate. You and the Holy Spirit is enough. Second Chronicles, I'll start up in verse 12. The Lord appeared to Solomon by night. He said to him, I have heard your prayer. I've chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. Verse 13, when I shut up heaven and there is no rain or command the locusts to devour the land or send pestilence among my people. Verse 14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. I've just been on a kick about this, that if my people, what qualifies that? The Lord says, if my people, so put my people in parentheses, who is that? What is that? I like to think that all of us, I'll give you kind of a theological, you know, answer to that. All of us that are in Christ are his people, regardless of race, color, age, education, etc. My people, we believe, are identified by those who call upon his name, who trust on the Lord. Those who have been born of the Spirit. So you're in that category. I had warned you a few weeks ago. I preached out of Psalms 2. As for me, I've set my king. And I said, be careful this year. You're going to find yourself all messed up if you let it get to you. If you watch, we have an election year here, and the slime of that political spirit. And Jesus said, be careful of these two things, the leaven of Herod, which is the political spirit, and the leaven of the Sadducees, yeah, the leaven of Herod, which is this political spirit, and the leaven of Sadducees, which is the religious spirit. And those two things are very nasty. Beware, don't let them get in. Like, Keep that out of your DNA. Stay pure from that. Stay clean from that. And you can love your country. You can have all of these things in place, but beware of the political spirit. It's nastiness warmed over, and then that linked up with a religious spirit is really, really bad. And so we want to stay away from those two things. If you have set your king in place, if you've made a decision in your heart, king of my heart, Jesus is king of my heart. If you've gone there, then the world and life looks different from that point on. Yeah. Everything changes. That is our calling, the lordship of Jesus. Who is Lord? And for us that are born of the Spirit, he is Lord. He is supreme. If he is what he is, and we believe and we say that we trust in him, then nothing is really bigger than him. God sits in the heavens and does what at all the stuff of the kings of the earth? He laughs. When you laugh, what is that? No worries, mate. They're just fussing. They can't mess up anything that's important. That's what that means. And so everywhere I go, I'm becoming more and more aware of this, that the if my people is us. And if we're the answer, we're also the problem, actually. So if you want to be upset, I don't want to dump any condemnation on you, but I'll just you can dabble in it for a moment just to help you with that judgment thing that's going on. That critical spirit that flares up inside of you. that's very possible were the cause. Because everything, for the most part, everything centers around this is us having a relationship with God, with the Lord, being here, bringing the kingdom, representing what we represent, and being diligent to do what we know we're to do. And that everything else is affected by you being who you're supposed to be on the planet. I'll just let that settle on you. Only I don't want you to be condemned, but I do want you to be commissioned. I do want you to be equipped. I do want you to realize, you see, you stop running your mouth so fast when you realize, when you have that wake-up call, oh boy, I did this. Oh boy, I didn't show up. See, this is, the Lord convicted me at one point about all my withdrawing. It's part of my testimony, like of cutting things off, cutting people off, cutting things off. And in the process of that, in one of my prophetic words, I get just inundated with these words about the effect that I have if I'm in situations. And it was over and over and over, and I walk out and go, boy, that was a clear message. Okay, I got it. Do I believe it? The Lord's saying, you matter. You have influence. I'm like, oh man, you don't know where I live. You don't know who I don't have influence. But heaven didn't agree with that. Now, if you and I have influence, regardless of whether we think we do or not, but if heaven says you do, if heaven says you can change things with your faith, with your presence, with what you carry, then we need to have a little bit of a twinge of conviction about withdrawing ourselves from everything we don't like. And just because it's awkward, and just because it's uncomfortable, and just because it's difficult, is not a license to withdraw from everything. For the sake of your presence matters. For the sake of you change an atmosphere. And you go, but I don't like that atmosphere. Me neither. So show up and change it. Show up, be a difference, and not by manipulation, and not by the political spirit, and not by the religious spirit. Not by those things, because they're dirty, they're contaminated. But by truly true kingdom principles. And Jesus pretty well spelled it out. So just read. Just read Jesus' words. It's not hard. He laid it out for us. Be like him wherever you are, and you will bring an effect. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, if they will turn from their wicked ways, honestly, this is kind of a ridiculous way to go about things. We're like, no, I need to get a banner and a stick, and I need a Sharpie, and I need to write some words on it, and I need to go march somewhere. That's how we change things. I know if you're in the right group today, someone's telling you to go do that. I don't, how's it working out? Could we just ask that question? How's that working? I'm also like totally against abortion, but you can't fight it with that spirit. You're fighting the same thing. You're fighting with the same thing they're in. Can you get in another spirit? Like, realize you're just engaging with them. You're functioning in the same thing. It's not how things get changed. Find the kingdom way. Realize, oh yeah, you do matter. And it does matter what you bring. And you are a very significant key. So the next time you start running your mouth about the government, the elections, the news, the this, the terrorists, the how horrible life is, realize What created the vacuum for all that nastiness to exist in the first place? My people. Now, you know, I don't use this. I don't like the condemnation thing, but I do want you to own this. I'm sitting in a doctor's office this week. I'm just waiting to go in and have my eyes closed and whatever. I've been fighting this virus and whatever's going on. Thank you, Jesus. I have my voice back, getting my voice back. Played a country western song backwards. I'm getting my voice back. So, sorry, I know better than to do those jokes. Like, my mother would tell me, no jokes, don't tell jokes. Don't try. You don't do well with them. I know. I have my eyes closed and, you know, I'm waiting to get called and some people in the waiting room here and there and a few more come in. You start hearing conversations and, you know, and they're talking about knee surgery and hip surgery and I had this and I had that and they all start joining in and they start ditzing all the local hospitals. You know what I'm talking about because you already know. A couple just came to mind. It wasn't hard at all, was it? I'm listening as an observer. I wasn't feeling spiritual enough to affect anything. I just was, you know, I was just in observation mode and half asleep. I'm going to say that I'm just going to guess these people, they were probably believers. Do you know how pathetic, pitiful it sounded? How powerless they sounded? Getting to just listen and watch? Pretty bad. You would never know when we talk like that. Let's assume it was us, because in any given day it is us. Do you know how pitiful it sounds? We come here and we sing these songs with these words and we declare that we trust the Lord and then we walk in our life like we don't trust in anything. Like we're victims, helpless, half angry, half perturbed, criticizing, judging. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to see what's wrong with things. Honestly, that's not that hard. But who has the wherewithal to believe for the change and to find the keys that will implement the change and not through the religious spirit, not through the political spirit? And in case you're thinking, oh, I don't use that political spirit, every time you use manipulation, you use it. Every time you start talking about a situation and you're trying to gather people to your side, that's that political spirit. We dip into it more than we want to talk about. Every time you want to prove you're justified about something and you start rattling off the information from your perspective, that's that political spirit. Kick that thing out. There's another way. There's a way of honor. There's a way of loving. There's a way of forgiving. And you know, we walk around and go, I don't have any friends. Well, no, you probably don't. Because when you talk like that and you act like that and you carry that thing, no one wants to be your friend, honestly, other than other people like you, and they aren't the friends you really want to have. I'm getting into your stuff a little bit today. I want us to be different. I want us to be different. I don't want us to think, hey, we've arrived. We're not like that. I'm afraid we still are too much. So we got to get into this. I want you to be different. I want you to talk different. I want you to lay in your bed at night and figure out ways to break that spirit because it is thick. It's all around us. And it is getting fueled and juiced. And the kind of year and the political year that we're in, it is on fire. And I want it out of the church. I want it out of us. And God himself said, if my people who are called by my name, you've got the key. It was in the vacuum and our absence of not showing up and fulfilling your calling and being who you're really supposed to be, that this stuff, it stuff gets a grip, a hold anyways. It's for the compromises that it ever gets a root. That's all right, because the Lord said, if you will just humble yourself, pray, stop doing that. Bring the changes. Be effective. And start bringing the hope and speaking to things. Okay, so local things, governments, hospitals, institutions, schools, it's all the same thing. What happens when someone's in the school system and says, yeah, I got a memo on the problems, but it's still here and it's a place where people are and Jesus loves it. He loves the people in it. He cares about the people in it. He cares about the atmosphere. He cares about these things. Start praying blessings. You find the people, whether on the school board or the hospital board or the government or this or that, and you identify the problem people. Pray for them and find Jesus kind of gave us some instruction about it. You don't like who they are or how they're acting? Bless them. You can get shot talking that way. Some of you may come to back to church with a black eye. Hey, pastor, I tried to do what you did, what you said. I got beat up at work. If we are going to say we trust in the Lord, let us. And let us find creative ways to declare that and change it. One word in faith, one word out of this kingdom spirit, it's amazing what you can change, what you can diffuse. One person that doesn't agree with that, one person that without manipulation, without condemnation, one person with a word of hope, one person that actually says, oh, I was praying for the president. Oh, you like that guy? I didn't say I like who he is, what he is, or what he's done, or what he hasn't done. I don't even pay attention anymore. But I was actually praying for him. He's a person. I wouldn't want his job. I wouldn't want his position. I wouldn't want his history. And there's somebody that's bigger than him. Because just last Sunday at church, I was singing with the group that I trust in the Lord. I joined in the song. I made the declaration. I can't be out here acting like I don't believe anything I just did Sunday. Like, we want to eradicate hypocrisy out of our church, don't we? Isn't the greatest complaint in the world? You guys are hypocrites? Well, let's not let that be true. Turn with me to Psalms chapter 34. It's one of those things where just pick a psalm. Just pick a psalm. I want you to listen to these words, but I'm going to feed you this. I'm going to feed you this. This isn't just a psalm. This is packed full of keys and answers. This is a powerful weapon. This is a powerful thing if you can tap, we can tap into it. And what does a life look like that is really walking in this? What do you look like when you're really, if you really would walk in this and hold this dear to your heart. The psalmist would do silly things like lay on their bed at night and meditate on his goodness. Now, I know you all lay in your bed and meditate on things. Or wherever it is you do your meditating, your Selah times, your think on this, driving your car. Or you keep enough noise and confusion to going on in your life to keep it blocked. I mean, sometimes that's why our lives are full of the television and the radio and anything else that's, you know, keep that rolling, because I can't stand the silence. Because all of a sudden, you know, you're like, what have you paid attention lately to what you're trying to silence? I'm as guilty as anybody. That's why that secret place can be so intimidating. If I would tell you all, you need to have a secret place with the Lord, a place where you meet with him, we'd all go, yes, Pastor, we do. But then a follow-up question. When's the last time you went there? When's the last time you found it? And then let me ask you this question. Why are you running? Why do we run from it? If it's so good, why are we hiding? Why isn't it important? Why don't we go there? This is, so let's read today. Let's look at this like this is powerful. This is transforming. And if you go here and live here, you'll have something to share at home, at work, at play, in your relationships. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. How many of you know it's hard to bash the president and praise the Lord at the same time? Or the pastor, or whoever your favorite person to bash is, or your husband, or your wife, or the kids, or the neighbors, or those darn employees that are ruining my life, you know. We all have people, we have these lists, people you're connected to. Bless the Lord at all times, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Verse 2, my soul shall make its boast in the Lord, the humble shall hear of it and be glad. I'm convicted. I'm still too quick to give answers and solutions to people first, rather than boasting in the Lord and referring and deferring. We should be the people. I'd like to see us be the people that pray so quickly, pray quickly. That pray first and give our advice second. Pray first, give our advice second. Even if you think you've got some good ideas on how to fix things, just take her easy. Pray first. If someone has gone to the trouble of telling, and I don't think we should be flippant about this. I think we should always be genuine. There is a time and a place to just genuinely listen to people. There really is. Like, none of us appreciate not being heard. But there's a way to listen and care and then make true opportunity even right then, right there. I mean, it's the greatest fun you can have is when someone starts to share a problem and you say, can we pray? You know, can I pray for you? Or like, oh yeah, heck, you can go home and pray for me. Like, and you go, no, I mean right now, right here in the store. Phyllis recently had a story where she prayed for a guy that was a clerk at one of the stores. He about died. Like I could get in trouble. She's like, it's okay. You don't have to close your eyes. You don't have to act like we're praying. It's only between me and you in heaven. I'll just pray. He hugely received that. Like, he just was open about his awkwardness about it, but But she just went after it, and man, he was really rocked by it. He was really blessed by it. It matters. It's neat. Once in a while, I'm the recipient of prayer, and a couple of people prayed for me, and it always reminds me of how good it feels just to have people walk up and touch you. I just truly care about where you are. Like, it feels good. It doesn't feel like an invasion when it's just true, genuine, heartfelt praying. It doesn't have to be profound to matter. And every touch matters. And every person that comes and just on your behalf stands and asks the Lord and speaks good things over you, that's nice. It feels good. I know that when people come and get prayer here, and because of the way you all minister and the things that you do, I know there's a preciousness to it. It feels warm. It feels caring. It's genuine. And then on top of that, it's supernatural. And it matters. We got the stuff. Let's just export it more and more, and let's just take it to all of this to another level. Let's boast in the Lord. Keep that in our forefront. Phyllis and I try to practice this at home. That's where you get the most casual, isn't it? The most lackadaisical about these things in your private life. This is and this is where it gets so easy to just fall into complaint. And fall into griping and feeling like things and people. If something's not working for you, you're powerful. You're a powerful person. Change it. Pray for change. But this thing about you're stuck and you're this, like, stop. If you're staying in something, stay in something because you choose to stay in something. If you don't like it, then make it your priority to pray and look for something to change. Why with all the possibilities are around, how did we get to be so pathetic about feeling like we're so victimized by everything? If you don't want to go to something, don't go. Yeah, but somebody would be mad. Whatever. Either go and be happy or don't go and let them talk about you. But where is this pathetic weakness coming from? We're afraid of our own shadow. We judge, so no wonder we're afraid we're going to get judged. We run our mouths, so no wonder we perceive what someone's going to say. Put your shoulders back. Take it. But be real. Got to stop this. Like how many years I spent going around in a bad mood because I was doing something I didn't really want to do. Shame on me. Either do it and be happy or, you know, and say, this is mine to do and I want to show up for my life. I don't want to go shopping with my wife today, but I don't want another man to take my wife shopping today, so I'll go. It's like that. I don't feel like going to church today, but I don't want someone else to go to church and sit in my seat today, so I'm going to go. I don't want replaced. I want to show up in my place. I have a place. I have a position. I have something to fulfill. Verse 3. Magnify the Lord with me. Let's exalt his name together. This doesn't have to be religious. This can truly exist in our interpersonal relationships. We don't need to get out any Greek or Hebrew dictionaries. Magnify something means make it bigger. We have cheater glasses we throw on. What's that about? Make the letters a little bigger. Need to see something that has become small. God's not small, but by talking, by focusing on it and looking at it and looking at not it, but him intently, it gets bigger. By focusing, talking about his goodness, by accentuating that, by holding that in the forefront, pretty soon he becomes what we're focused on. Telling our stories and retelling our stories of what he's done in the past. Sometimes it's not what you want to hear, whatever. It's still the best thing you can hear. Unless you just want to feel sorry for yourself, and we ain't got no time for that. Then okay, go lock yourself up in your room, come out when you're over it. But this a decision to go full in, to bless the Lord and to make him big. I sought the Lord in verse 4, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Verse 5, they looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. Who did? Those that were afraid, and he took their fear away. Those that found the Lord, that's who. Your whole countenance changes when you look for him and you find him. It takes away your shame. This poor man cried out in verse 6, and the Lord heard him, saved him out of all his troubles. There is a word of wisdom for your troubles. You're like, oh, I'm never going to get out of this. Where did that come from? Who said? Just because it's beyond you doesn't mean there's not an answer. Just because you can't see in the dark doesn't mean someone doesn't have a flashlight. Just because you don't have a belief system that goes past this point doesn't mean somebody else doesn't. And that one moment of the Spirit giving you a word of wisdom, bang, everything changes. Everything can change. Build a history. I trust in the Lord. I've been stuck before. And I prayed a lot, and I prayed until I got an answer, and the Lord got me out of it. The Lord changed things. Let me remind you, this whole psalm was read. The context of this was David put himself in one bad situation. Remember that little David and Goliath story? What was Goliath? A Philistine. Saul was threatening to kill him, and David did the stupidest thing you could possibly think of. He ran to the Philistines. Now, why would you do that? Well, we do stupid things when we're desperate, when we're afraid, when we've gotten thrown off a little bit. And he ran right to the land of the Philistines, realized he was in major trouble. So he acts like he's insane, acts like he's crazy. He starts slobbering all over himself, and, you know, he must have been an actor as well as, you know, a lot of other things that he was. He's a great psalmist, a great harpist. He was an awesome warrior, and he evidently was like Richard Greer. He was also a great actor. He could act, and he was so convincing that the king said, get this idiot out of my presence. They should have like had him impaled, like Saul was trying to impale him at the time with a spear. And these guys, it's a wonder they didn't like, he killed their champion. When he comes out of this situation, he writes this psalm. He makes this decision to put things that like lay aside all deceit and all these things. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to trust the Lord. I can put myself in these ridiculous situations again. The Lord found him in that. Verse 7, the angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. On and on. Excellent psalm. I just could keep reading. Trust in the Lord. Make him your trust. Let's exalt, let's magnify the Lord. Let's exalt him together. And let's apply that to things that today you're going to end up in conversations about or tomorrow morning. And atmospheres and situations that you're going to be in. Because that is the thing that trumps everything else. Your wages, your salary, your sickness that you can't get over, your strongholds, your people don't like you, you've been betrayed, you've been maligned, you've been... The answer to all that is in trusting him, and drawing near to him. There's wisdom that's available that we haven't tapped into yet. Don't think. They're still writing songs. Do you know that? Now, if you realize how many songs have been written since the beginning of time, and they're still writing new songs. That fascinates me. There's only so many notes in a, you know. There's only so many keys to play those notes within. There's only so many time signatures. There's only so many, and yet there seems to be this unlimitless amount and ways and inspiration still comes. And someone comes up with a new song, you go, "Whoa, hey. Never heard that before." There's still wisdom to be found in every situation. There's still wisdom to be found for our economy. Just realize this. We just haven't tapped into heaven fully yet. There's more to be found. All the dilemmas of our culture and cultural issues and all of this stuff, there's wisdom to be found. There are answers from heaven we haven't tapped into yet. Who's going to find those? Where do you think any invention came from? Actually, people like you and me that prayed more than not. I believe everything has come, the inspirations have truly come from heaven. Whether and God doesn't get credit for half of what he gives. I really think that's the issue. We're not that original. And the devil definitely isn't. So heaven holds these answers, holds this provision, waits for us to tap into things and to trust in him with all of our hearts. Let's magnify the Lord together and exalt him and make him big. Make him a big deal. Be a testimony. The Passion Translation reads, "I want to make the Lord famous." That's a great concept. How do you make him famous? Just talk about what he's done. Just talk about what he's done and determine that the elements in your life, you've got the raw materials for a bad story or a good story. Have you thought of that lately? Give me the list of what's going on in your life right now, and I'll tell you that's the raw material for a testimony or for a sad story. Or a sad song. It's same ingredients. You can make a cake or you can make something else. And that is true of every one of us. Every one of us. So let's take some time today. Ask the Lord just to, the Holy Spirit, just release him. Just ask in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, be in our midst. Just indicate to us, Lord Jesus. Indicate words. Tap into the secrets of our hearts. Tap into the needs that are on our hearts today. Father, we come in this room as a body. Members one of another, members of your body. Holy Spirit, you're in our midst. I ask you to just sweep over the room today. What power is released when you begin to speak? Our faith rises, begin to indicate. begin to indicate what we'll do.